I invite your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we'll be reading from verse 38 through verse 46. This particular section is one that deals with couple of things, but in particular, we find our text that I want to speak to you about this morning in verse 46. Let's pray and then we'll bring the message. Father, I pray that you'll help us today. Bless in hearts as we read the word, encourage folks as we preach the message. Glorify Jesus Christ in our midst, for we pray in His precious name. Amen. In verse 38, reading on through verse 46, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all of the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And in this particular text, there are some of the statements that our Lord Jesus Christ made from the cross. If we put it all together, we're dealing with seven statements from the cross. Each one has something in particular to say. And as I read through this particular passage in preparation for this message, I thought, surely verse 46 would be very appropriate, especially on Father's Day. As our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And I want to just deal with that particular thought for a few moments this morning. And I trust it'll be a blessing and a help to you. This is one of those type messages that it'll either bless your heart or it'll fall flat on its face as we preach it. But I do want to look into this statement that Jesus Christ made. I'm persuaded that our Lord did not waste any words. While he was here on earth, the statements that he made, such as the one about the thief that would be that day with him in paradise, if we look into the other Gospels, we'll find out that there was a statement made just ahead of the fact that he commended himself into the hands of the Father, and that was, it is finished. Here, as he makes this final statement from the cross, he gave up the ghost, or he died. And I think that there are some things to look into in this particular text this morning. The first thing I want to deal with is the example that is set. The example that is set. If you're looking for an example of life, Jesus Christ is the best that you're going to find. You can look far, you can look wide, you can look high, and you can look low, but you're not going to find another example like Jesus Christ. So I think there's a couple of things that we need to say maybe in relation to the example that our Lord set. The first thing I want to just deal with is in the general sense, the cry from the cross as he commended himself to the Father. Now, we have to understand that at this particular point, we're looking at Jesus Christ in his humanity. We're not dealing with him as God at this particular moment. There was only one man that ever lived that could honestly say, I do always those things that please him. Speaking of the Father, and that's, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know fully why that our Lord spoke with a loud voice, but I believe one of the examples or the thought is that he wanted everybody to hear him. He wanted the crowd to know his commitment. When he commended himself into the hands of the Father, he was committing himself to the Father and honestly to the will of the Father. But he cried with a loud voice. There is a place that I think sometimes requires us to speak louder than others, and this happened to be one of those times. I've been in services, especially in the rescue missions and such, that you have a lot to overcome, and dealing with folks that are somewhere between slightly to totally inebriated is sometimes difficult to get the point across. So I believe the Lord had this statement to make, and it was of such importance that he did not want anybody to miss the statement that he made. So he cried with a loud voice. Now, as we look into this text, I cannot help but think of the hands of Jesus Christ. There are certain things about hands that'll tell you something. There's a fellow several years ago now, as he shook my hand, said, "You've got a working man's hands." I said, "Yes, I do." I didn't tell him I didn't work much. But he could tell that by the size of the hand, and usually you can tell by the calluses on a hand that it's a working hand. So there's really three things I want to say about the hands of Jesus. The first thing is that there's no more protective place than the hands of Jesus Christ. So we commend ourselves into the hands of Jesus Christ. You couldn't get anywhere that you'd be more protected than with Him under these circumstances. The second thing I want to say about it is that there'd be no more adequate place than to be in the hands of Jesus Christ. John, as he dealt with the situation really of the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, he spoke of the Father's hands and being in the Father's hands, the protective nature of those hands and the adequacy of that place, to the point that he said basically that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So as we think about the Father's hands, and I hope that you realize that this being Father's Day, that certainly a father has an obligation to meet, as well as we look into the greater sense of God the Father. The third thing I want to say about the hands of Jesus is there's really no other place to place oneself if we're going to be saved than in the hands of the Father. And so the hands of our Heavenly Father are very adequate. And then we must say that Jesus Christ as a man commended himself into the hands of the Father. Certainly, it'll be explained to us more farther on, but the truth is it meant that Jesus Christ was going to be raised from the dead, that the Old Testament prophet David had spoken of it, and then it's used by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, that death just can't hold him. So it's a good place to be. Now, the second thing I want to see in this message this morning is the things to commit to the Father. Well, this broadens the subject now, certainly. As we look into this particular thought from a Christian standpoint, the first thing I put down so that I'd not skip over it lightly nor pass it by is that we ought to commend our minds to the hands of the Father. As a Christian, we ought to think right. We ought to have the right exposure in our lives as we think in terms of commending ourselves unto the hands of the Father. The Christian really needs to think right. I don't have to say a lot about this subject, but it seems like even wrong thinking has invaded the Christian experience. And that's sad, because our minds ought to belong to the Lord just like the rest of ourselves belongs to the Lord. So the Christian should think right. And I'm persuaded the Christian ought to evaluate right. I would say this and not hesitate to say it, that every decision of life ought to be evaluated in light of the Word of God. The mind is important. You're wondering why Paul, when he dealt with the Ephesians, basically talked about the mind and to think on certain things. We need to think right. We need to evaluate right. We need to evaluate our company, our business, our very lives need to be committed to Jesus Christ. And in this realm of the mind, not to eliminate the thought of the heart, because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but a Christian needs to know the wording of the gospel. The mind plays an important part in our lives. And we need to commit our minds into the hands of the Father. And then the second thing, not only the mind, but we ought to commend the mouth. Ought to commend the mouth to the hands of the Father. We ought to speak the things of the Word of God. And speak the things of God. We ought to speak this morning as a Christian without prejudice. Oftentimes, folks will say, well, I'm not prejudiced. Well, you didn't grow up around where I grew up, or you would have been, because it was something that was taught early in life. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you the facts. There's some things that need to be commended to the Father. The mouth is one of them. We ought to speak without prejudice today. We ought to be using our mouths that are commended into the hands of the Father for the sake of the salvation of others. The third thing I want to mention, and I'm not going to exhaust this subject this morning, and you'll understand that. Not only should we commend our minds and our mouth, but we ought to commend our feet into the hands of the Father. If we believe the Word, and I do, then some of us have got feet that don't look so bad in light of who's handling them. How beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel and speak the word of peace to the heart and soul of man. You realize today that the gospel is going to be carried somewhere, and it's most times carried on our feet. I've never, to this day, had just a head come to the door and knock on it. Somebody carried it up there, reached out a hand and knocked on the door. Commit yourself. And that's basically what I want to get across to you, is that We ought to be willing to go where the Father wants us to go. Commend ourselves. Commend our feet to Him. As the Father directs, then I would speak at large and say we need to commend our body under the hands of the Father. You realize that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have of God. You realize that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our spirit and in our bodies, which are God's. So that you'll understand, this is not a decision that we have made that God has to do this, but God the Father has chosen to live in us. Privilege above privilege today that we have to commend ourselves unto the hands of the Father. Third thing I want to deal with in the major division of this message today is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ committed. I don't know that we could do justice to this text without mentioning what it means. Well, there are a number of things I believe that our Lord commended into the hands of the Father. First thing was His birth. Mary didn't fully understand it. She said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" Yet, in all that I'm going to say, I'll remind you that when God the Father saw the travail of God the Son and the sacrifice that He would make, He was well pleased and satisfied with it. So as we think about the fact that He was born, we might question, why would He be born in such a lowly manner and put in a manger? Because the Father accepted His birth as it was commended into His hands. And then, of course, Jesus Christ commended His life unto the Father, into the hands of the Father. Oh, we could mention so many things, such as the coffin of a loved one that He would touch, and an only son would be restored to life and given back to his mother. The whole prospect of life that Jesus Christ came into this world, honestly, to live. Because in living, He was going to glorify God and make God known to man. It involved His life. And then His deeds. As we think about the varied incidents in the life of Jesus Christ, the Father taking each one and being satisfied with it. And then we could not pass this thought up, His sinlessness. His sinlessness this morning. He's commended Himself to the hands of the Father, and His life was sinless. No charge could ever be brought against Him. And then we think about the precious blood. Precious blood. We're talking about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ completed. Then as we look all the way through the prospect of the sacrifice, he finally comes and commends himself into the hands of the Father in his death. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, or he died. Finally, today, and for the sake of time, we've realized kept you longer than we normally would. But there needs to be, finally, the commending of yourself into the hands of the Father. We ask why. Well, simple answer, because we're sinners. We need a sacrifice this morning. And without salvation, the application of this sacrifice, we're lost. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Simple invitation. If you're here and without Jesus Christ, expect the worst, because that's what you'll get. But I believe those saved hands are willing to take and embrace the most guilty sinner and pronounce those words of forgiveness to that soul. Let's stand together. Musicians, come and prepare the invitation number, and I'll pray with the rest. Father, I'm grateful for the privilege to be able to preach today. And I pray that folks will take it very seriously, what the Lord said here, that he commended himself into the hands of the Father. There is a God who's willing to save. And we'll save to the uttermost every soul that comes unto God by him. Because the one who committed himself in death now lives and is willing to save. We pray and ask in that glorious and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.